Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Thursday, May 15, 2025. I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I'm Warid Ahmed. And for today's show, it's extremely packed. And of course, Trump is there. Now, firstly, Qatar has signed a $200 billion deal to buy jets from Boeing during Trump's visit to Qatar. Secondly, Trump has finally met Syria's interim leader, Ahmed al-Shara, and amid the U.S. lifting sanctions in that push to rebuild ties between the two countries, Elon Musk said that Starlink was approved in Saudi Arabia. And finally, NVIDIA and AMD joined forces with Saudi Arabia's new artificial intelligence company, Humane, towards building Saudi Arabia's AI infrastructure future.
And the very first story, and obviously it cannot be anything but Trump. U.S. President Donald Trump had announced a record-breaking $200 billion agreement between Qatar Airways and American aerospace giant Boeing, signed in Doha on Wednesday. Yesterday, the deal includes the purchase of 160 aircraft, what Trump called the largest order of jets in Boeing's history.
Now, the signing ceremony took place at the Amiri Diwan in the presence of Qatar's Emir Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani and Boeing CEO Kelly Ortberg and Qatar Airways CEO Badr Mohammed Al Mir. Now, that's a record, Kelly. Get those planes out there, Trump said while phrasing the agreement.
And this was the second stop on Trump's four-day Middle East tour following a visit to Saudi Arabia, where he announced the lifting of long-standing U.S. sanctions on Syria and expressed support for Syria's new interim president, Ahmed al-Shara.
Now, in Doha, Trump was welcomed with full state honors. He shared warm praise for Sheikh Tamim, even drawing comparisons to Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, calling them tall, handsome guys that happen to be very smart.
And adding to the spectacle, Trump's convoy featured two custom Tesla Cybertrucks in Qatar's internal security raid. Tesla CEO Elon Musk, a key Trump ally and campaign donor, is also reported to be an advisor in his current administration.
Now, the White House later confirmed that the agreements signed in Doha are expected to generate at least $1.2 trillion in economic activity for Qatar. Now, the visit also stirred buzz over a $400 million aircraft Qatar may offer as a future Air Force One. This was announced right before Trump went to Qatar.
And he confirmed it on his Truth Socials that it will be a temp Air Force One. And U.S. President Donald Trump has met with Syria's interim. So he's met with Syria's interim president, Ahmed al-Shara, during his high-profile visit to Saudi Arabia yesterday. It was a half-and-half tour, so half day he was in Saudi, and then he left and went to Doha. And just before he left, the meeting came with Ahmed al-Shara, and it was announced day before yesterday that he's lifting sanctions on Syria, marking a major policy shift after more than a decade of restrictions.
Now, the surprise announcement is expected to pave the way for a new diplomatic and economic engagement between the U.S. and Syria as the war-torn nation seeks to rebuild its infrastructure, which, according to the UN, requires $400 billion.
And Trump described the meeting with Shara as great, calling the interim president a young, attractive guy with a very strong past. And there's clips circulating on social media where he called him a jihadist and a terrorist back in the day, like nearly 8 years ago. So it's a very nice turn of fate for Ahmed al-Shara as well. And he also, Mr. Trump also expressed optimism about his ability to hold it together in a country still facing deep challenges.
And photos aired by Saudi state television showed the two leaders shaking hands in the presence of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, highlighting regional backing for Trump's diplomatic overtures in the Middle East. Yeah. Now, just to go back to Qatar and that $200 billion Boeing deal, number one, it's an American company. Number two, I think that we all forget this often, but Qatar is a very small country.
Yeah.
Comparatively to Saudi Arabia, it is very small. And you know, Majid, we've been discussing how great these investments are for the U.S. You know, $600 billion from Saudi, $1.4 trillion from the UAE, and now, according to the White House, up to $1.2 trillion in agreements with Qatar. you have to ask yourself, are the locals in these countries all happy about this news? You really do. Like, I'll give you an example. In the UAE, in Qatar even, if you go into a taxi, you're never going to find an Emirati there. You're never going to find a local there, period. But in Saudi Arabia is such a large nation with a lot of people. If you actually go into a taxi in Saudi, you might actually find an original Saudi Arabian driving that taxi. So, I wonder with these investments, are all the locals in these countries going to be happy about them?
Saudis, yeah, they do drive Uber. They're not. You cannot find them in the national taxi kind of thing. You'll find them in Ubers. They drive Ubers, yeah. That's a fact. I know, I sat with them. But their Ubers are even super luxury cars. You'll sit in a Tesla in an Uber in Saudi.
Yeah, but so, the point there, it's a Saudi Arabian driving a taxi.
It's just
you have Saudi Arabians who are driving taxis while this much money is going to America.
Yeah. You'll have to understand. See, yesterday I think we talked about it, that it's not just going to be like Saudi Arabia writing a check for $600 billion and just giving it to Trump and be like, take the money. It's a very nice joint arrangement. Some Saudi companies will open offices in UAE. So a lot of human capital, a lot of talent pool that is now being created in Saudi Arabia with kids who are doing masters and bachelors and they're getting higher educations, them having an opportunity to go to America and work for those Saudi companies. Then there's American companies which have set up their head offices, and we have already seen in the last year or so, we've kept on telling about the companies that have come and set up their HQs. It's Amazon, Microsoft, whichever company you say, Saudi Arabia has to have a headquarter there because they can't get government contracts without it. So that creates more jobs. And then there's joint ventures also. So some companies, they're not just opening office, like some American companies are just not coming to Saudi Arabia. They're building central offices somewhere. And that is how job creation will come. And that is how you'll take those people who don't have anything and are maybe driving taxis and Ubers. And they will go into the talent pool, which will be needed to make all this industry work.
See, it's not that they don't have anything going for them. You know, I know someone in Saudi, and it's actually more of an issue of some people feel that Westerners are being prioritized more so in the job pool, more so than Saudis.
To be honest, see, it's here the complete opposite of the truth right now. Very current example, my friend just moved 3 days ago to Dubai back. He's worked with Souq.com, Ronaldo
Mochawar. But that's the UAE though.
No, I'm telling you the whole story.
Emiratization here is very strong.
He's not Emirati. The story is he worked for Souq. Souq got acquired by Amazon. So he worked for Amazon for a lot of years. Then he was given a growth opportunity to move to Saudi Arabia. He just moved to Saudi Arabia like 2 years ago. Now because of Saudization and 40% Saudi people like forced into the workforce of any company, he was told that either you go today, go back to Dubai and get settled there and become another category manager, or you can stay here and after 2 years, you will be forced to go. So for him, it's a problem. For Saudis, it's a very good sign that the government has put a policy in place where they are 100% guaranteed a 40% quota. So if there is a company which has 100 employees, 40 of them have to be Saudi by law. So if there's a 1,000-person company, which is Amazon and Microsoft and all the big companies, they by default will hire 400 Saudis. So the government, the policy of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, it actually ensures that they get education and they will get a job. It's very rare to see that any place in the world. The only comparison that you were making, and it's a very nice comparison, that Emiratis you will never see driving a taxi, but Saudis you do. It's just the population dynamics. Saudi Arabia with 70 to 80% of locals and 20 to 30% of foreigners, they will have to do a lot of jobs that Emiratis will never do. Emiratis are like 10, 15% of the country. And I remember Hind, she was Emirati, she was here, and we were talking about Emirati Women's Day, and she made a really nice point, and we had a discussion about how Emiratis in the UAE, they, as soon as they're born, they're destined for leadership roles. You will never see them in any menial job. Maybe they'll go there, do internships, do experiences, take experiences, but they're destined for leadership roles because they have such a small number of population in the UAE that they will have to place themselves in the leadership role. So government jobs, Emiratis, private sector, we have Emiratization. If you have 25 or less people, one Emirati.
And rightfully so. I believe in Emiratization.
So it's just the population dynamics that make Emirates UAE what it is. Otherwise, if UAE, to be honest, if it had 80% of their own population, like Saudi Arabia, Emiratis, we would see them doing
that
other jobs apart from being in leadership positions.
That probably would be the case. And for the next topic that we're going to discuss, Elon Musk has announced that Saudi Arabia has officially approved the use of Starlink satellite internet service for both aviation and maritime sectors in the kingdom. Now, the announcement came during Musk's appearance at the Saudi-U.S. Investment Forum in Riyadh, part of a broader White House-led delegation to the region.
And Starlink, the satellite internet service owned and operated by Elon Musk's SpaceX, first became available in the region in Yemen in late 2024. It has since expanded to Jordan and Oman, with Qatar Airways debuting the first Starlink-equipped Boeing 777 from Doha earlier this year.
And Starlink has been aggressively expanding its global footprint. In recent weeks, SpaceX began offering its hardware free of charge outside the United States in a bid to boost new user adoption, particularly in undeserved and emerging markets. And that's very smart of Elon.
And Musk also teased future ambitions for Saudi Arabia, stating his intention to bring Tesla robotaxis to the kingdom. While no timeline was given, he described the potential for autonomous vehicle in the region as very exciting, subject to regulatory approval.
In a private demonstration, Musk revealed that he had shown several of Tesla's Optimus humanoid robots still in development to both President Donald Trump and Saudi Crown Prince Salman. Now, these robots are a key part of Tesla's long-term vision beyond electric cars.
And the main thing is he's bringing the robots to Saudi Arabia. But apart from this, so the Saudi trip by Mr. Trump is so big that I think for the next 2 years, we'll still keep covering all the deals that have been made. And to be honest, no one has been able to do justice to the number of deals. But this deal specifically, the Minister of Transport and something, the whole designation, he, during the Saudi-US Investment Forum, said that we're trying to bring other autonomous vehicles also. And by 2027, we will see something. We've already seen that in UAE.
I remember they had an aim, actually, by 2030 in Saudi Arabia. They want 30% of driving cars in Saudi to be electrical vehicles.
Yeah, so electrical is different. They're electric cars. They run on electricity. Autonomous vehicles is the taxis that we talk about. Mm-hmm. Remember, in Abu Dhabi, you don't need a driver. They are. They can be petrol, they can be diesel, they can be electric. But autonomous vehicles is a complete different category. And if Saudi Arabia somehow gets it, because UAE already has implemented it, Uber, Vigo.
Do they need charging stations?
Depends. If the car is petrol-based, it won't. But if it's an electric car, they will need a charging station. So EVs, the very good thing. We've talked about it when Tesla launched that 1% of Saudi cars are EVs. So, and I think 2 or 3% of the sales throughout any year has been EVs. So they're not very
They don't have a lot of charging stations.
And I think that is one of the reasons the sales are less and the number of cars are less. But if now Tesla is there, Tesla, whenever you go to UAE, any mall, you'll see a separate like 5-6 line parking for Tesla only. You can't park any car there apart from a Tesla. So the hardware thing that they were talking about, he's very smart with this. He's not selling you the car. He's selling you the idea that you just buy the car, I'll give you the charging station for free. And in UAE, there was this policy which recently like changed that now people will have to pay some small amount. Usually before, they just scanned the RTA app and they could charge the car for free. But now there is a minimal fee that has been incorporated. So, but I still think if we talk about only Tesla, Musk and automated cars, there's still a long way to go in Saudi Arabia. The interesting thing is Musk knows that this market is ripe and there is no one. In UAE, I don't think he can beat BYD, Geely, all these Chinese manufacturers. That is why he very smartly went to Saudi Arabia.
A market that only has 1% electrical vehicles.
So they'll very smart from him.
They will.
So before we move on, he also met Qatar's Amir yesterday. And details came out of what they talked about. But he is with Trump for every country. So most probably, there's a very high chance that we'll see him in UAE in Abu Dhabi when Mr. Trump arrives today. There's still no news when he's coming, but he is coming 100%.
And finally, NVIDIA and AMD have officially partnered with Saudi Arabia's new AI company, Humane, which is headed by Tariq Amin, to develop a large-scale AI data center infrastructure aimed at transforming the kingdom into a global leader in artificial intelligence. Now, the announcement underscored Saudi Arabia's ambition to become a hub for advanced digital infrastructure and AI innovation.
Humane, which is a very nice wordplay on human, but with an AI, backed by the Public Investment Fund, PIF, is leading the charge with plans to build AI factories delivering up to 500 megawatts of computing power. Over the next 5 years, these centers will be equipped with hundreds of thousands of high-end GPUs from NVIDIA, beginning with the deployment of 18,000 Grace Blackwell GB300 AI supercomputers using NVIDIA InfiniBand networking.
And these hyperscale data centers are designed to serve as secure foundations for training and deploying sovereign AI models. Now, they aim to empower industries in Saudi Arabia and beyond to accelerate innovation, automate operations, and drive digital transformation at scale.
As part of the initiative, Humane will also deploy the NVIDIA Omniverse platform to simulate and operate physical environments, supporting the development of physical AI systems and robotics through advanced virtual modeling.
And meanwhile, AMD has signed a separate agreement with Humane to co-develop a global AI infrastructure. Now, this includes a network of AMD-powered AI computing centers extending from Saudi Arabia to the U.S., optimized for a wide range of corporate, startup, and government use cases.
And the partnership, with an investment commitment of up to $10 billion, will be supported by AMD's full AI compute portfolio and ROCm open software ecosystem. Initial deployments are already underway, with multi-exaflop capacity expected to go live by early 2026. A lot of technical terms, yeah. But yeah, basically they're building AI data centers.
They are, and basically NVIDIA is Jensen Huang, personally revealed in the U.S.-Saudi forum was just held, I believe, yesterday. Was it yesterday?
So the U.S. forum was on Tuesday.
Time is moving so
quickly. Tuesday. Today's Thursday, right?
Yeah.
So Saudi U.S. forum was Tuesday, and yesterday was GCC U.S.
Okay,
forum.
So before yesterday, Jensen Huang personally revealed on stage with the CEO that was appointed for Humane, Tariq Amin, that they're going to give Humane, imagine, just after it's launched. It's a very new company. Yeah. We just got it this Monday. They're going to give them 16,000 NVIDIA chips. But just on my point, Majid, of how, you know, in Saudi Arabia, the difference between it and Qatar and the UAE, if you step in, you'll find a Saudi driving a taxi. This is what I mean. This the reason why Humane is so interesting is because, obviously, with Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030 and how the country is completely evolving, there's going to be so many mega projects involved. There's going to be so much money involved and roles involved. Yeah. And everyone is kind of crawling for these roles. Everyone wants these roles. And out of everyone, who is actually chosen to be CEO? Who was chosen to lead this mission? You know, it's Tariq Amin, and he's, you know, I contacted him, and I found out that he's Jordanian-born, and he's lived in India and Japan for most of his life. And the reason why he lived in Japan for most of his life is because he used to be the CEO of this company called Rakuten Symphony in Japan. He has really good telecom experience, but can you imagine, Majid, that he has never lived in this region before? His telecom artificial intelligence experience does seem great, but he's never lived in this region before. And I think with Humane, I looked through their press release, and the reason why it's such an impressive company, the reason why it's so important is because they're basically trying to build the most advanced Arabic chatbot. So basically,
the technical term is LLM, large language model. They're building an Arabic ChatGPT with this.
Yeah, and that's why it's so big. And it's, you know, it's this Jordanian-born American guy who grew up in America his entire life, Tariq, who gets to lead this mission. You can't imagine how many Saudis want to be a part of that.
But I think me being Asian, I'm very close to the concept of Rakuten because it's a very big market. It has a very big position in Asia, especially because Japan and so Asia. And it's just to give you one sentence, it's the Amazon of Japan. So they have e-commerce, digital, fintech. They have so many. It's just a combination of companies which do so many things. So he's headed that. So to be honest, I think there won't be any other guy who can do that.
Not just that. He was also the CEO of Aramco Digital.
Oh, yeah, Aramco
So basically, Digital. Aramco Digital, it's this like artificial intelligence arm of Aramco. They work on artificial intelligence and cloud computing solutions. So the guy definitely does bring a lot of experience, but there are many guys like him and probably Saudis too with that same experience, and he was chosen.
Yeah.
He truly is. In this case, he's the lucky one because, you know, this company, it's chaired by Crown Prince Salman. It's going to lead the entire AI infrastructure future of Saudi Arabia, and also apparently Majid, this company Humane, they hired advisors from the NEOM project, from Aramco, to actually work on it. All projects that are very crucial to the kingdom.
Tariq Amin, I remember the very first time I saw him was at FII8. So FII8, Aramco signed a deal with this one company. I don't remember the name. I'll give you the name. Just give me 1 second. And they signed a deal to create a background model. So AI infrastructure, we always talk about data centers. They're physical, but there's a whole operating system behind it. So those that company basically makes the software that actually runs the data center. Mm. And he was representing Aramco even after he had left that job. So I was like, okay, this guy left the job, but he was so good that they invited him just for that meeting. So you were talking about it, and it just popped in my mind that I saw that video. And we actually shared it, I remember, or we did the story on it at least, 100%. So this is, he's one of the guys that you think will work. But Word's point is also right that a lot of people who were in big places are now choosing this region. They're coming here, taking up big companies.
Taking up big company roles.
Yeah, everyone wants a piece of this land and this region now.
But at least it's Arab-led in this case. He's Jordanian.
That's the good part, to be honest, that it's Arab-led and we're not seeing a white guy, a Western guy with so much experience from Europe just trying to come here and assimilate himself in the environment. To be honest, it takes you nearly 6 months to 1 year to just understand how things work. Mm. So instead of wasting that time, they're picking guys who are Arab, who come in and very first second they step in the office, they know what they're going to face in the office environment and culture and everything. And as soon as Mr. Trump lands in UAE in Abu Dhabi, we'll tell you everything. We're trying to cover everything from his trip on our social media and in our newsletter. So if you missed day one and day two summaries, just go to our any link that you can find on Instagram, on LinkedIn. We have the newsletter link there. You can go and see the day one and day two summary. And today, if you're not interested and you just want a full summary of his 3 days, we'll do it today in our newsletter.
Yeah, so. And that's a wrap for today, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. This is a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production under the Augustus Media Podcast Network.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're one of the people who are one of the 1.6 million monthly listeners across all our platforms, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow.